We're going to begin a little discipleship area on Sunday mornings. We start a little bit on Wednesday nights. And how many have never been through a discipleship class? How many don't remember going through a discipleship class? How many have a clue what a disciple is? How many don't care? So Wednesday night we talked about God, three personalities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And keep in mind there are three that bear witness in heaven, okay? Today, I got 3 points. If I get done with them, we say praise the Lord and I go home and take a nap. If we don't, we sit here till 5 o'clock tonight, then we go to Dino's. Not really. I want to talk about, and I know you're going to look at me and say, we know that. I want to talk about why Jesus came. What was his purpose? What was his plan? And I know everybody will say he came to die on the cross. That's just part of the plan. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. But in John chapter 14, verse number 8, now I'm not going 1 through 6, because you all read that all the time anyway. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay? Philip said to him in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now let's take a picture of this. How would you have got to know the Father without Jesus manifesting him to the people? Jesus talked a lot about his Father. But the Father is the one who planned the crucifixion. The Father is the one who put it all together. The Father is the one that made things happen. And so as Jesus came, he came to demonstrate to us the love of the Father. Now I got an idea, if Jesus hadn't demonstrated to us the love of the Father, some of us might have been afraid of him. He's kind of a powerful being. Huh? Am I in First Church of the Dead? He is absolutely magnificent. And he worked through Jesus. He worked his will through Jesus. He walked out the life of Christ through Jesus. And everything that Jesus did, Jesus said this, I don't do anything apart from the Father. I don't do anything apart unless the Father tells me. And a couple times he had to check. You know, he's walking around, this Syrophoenician woman is yelling, you know, my daughter's demon possessed, set her free. And Jesus looks at her and said, hey, I haven't been called to come to the dogs. And the woman in great faith said, but Master, even the little puppies eat the crumbs from the table. And so I believe Jesus looked to the Father. The Father says, you can't deny that faith. Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus comes and he asks for water. And the woman at the well says, me being a Samaritan or an outcast, and you're a Jew and you ask for water. And Jesus looks at her and says something so amazing. He says, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water that doesn't perish, but water that springs up for eternal life. And so in this relationship with God, God is not hiding from us. The Father's not saying, I don't want you to get to know me. The Father's not saying, hey, you know, I don't have anything to do with sinners. The Father said, I'm sending my Son. I'm going to have my Son come and die so that you can be free from sin. So that you can know life. So that my Son is going to die, and we're going to raise him from the dead. He's going to conquer everything of the devil, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And he's going to give you freedom. Now, here's the deal. I've met a lot, especially women, who had fathers that were abusive. I've met a lot of ladies who've had trouble with their fathers. In fact, as I was preaching in Idaho, and this lady came up and she said, you know, I don't want to know the father. And I said, what do you mean? He said, my father was abusive. My father was mean. My father beat me. My father molested me. And I said, I want to tell you something. You have never met a father like our Heavenly Father. You have never met a father whose your best interests are in his heart. You have never met a father who would sacrifice his own son on a cross and give it to the world so that we might be free. Amen. We might live out of bondage of sin. We might walk this life out in peace and joy and happiness and hope. Our hope is built on Jesus Christ and on this cornerstone. But Jesus Christ came to earth to be that cornerstone because he was directed by the Father. Yes. Let's look at something else as long as we're talking about it. How many of you have read Romans 8? He didn't bring you into bondage. He brought you into adoption. God adopted us. He planned this whole thing out, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit, because of the Father, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yes. Now, sometimes we don't feel like it. But I know you don't, but I have mornings I don't feel human. Boy, you miss a good chance to say amen. But there are times that things just aren't connecting. And we don't get that connection, and things are going wrong, and things are breaking down, and relationships are having crashes. But God says, you're my children. God the Father through Christ. And he comes to us. He wraps his spiritual arm around us. And he lets us know, you're okay. Now, we talked about Paul's lake last week. And we talked about people that can't accept that God forgives them. And so I was threatened all week to be the next Christian in that lake. But as we had people stand and ask them how many Christians you killed, none of you killed any. Paul or Saul did. Okay? or he was instrumental in them dying. But how many of you quit reading the Bible because Paul wrote some of it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? You wouldn't have much to read, would you? And so, for some reason, we look at the Father and we think, and we still think, if I'm good, I'm okay. If I'm bad, he kicks me out. If we're good, he pays attention to me. If we do the right things, if we walk the right life, if we're not sinning too much, if we're behaving ourselves, then God loves me. That's not God. But people go through that concept that God only loves you when you're doing what he wants you to do. Okay. Let me just illustrate, okay? How many believes that Jesus loved Peter? Amen. Really? So how would you handle Jesus coming to you and saying, "Get behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me"? How would you handle that? Would you go pout? Would you be upset? Do you realize that Jesus included someone who would be a traitor for 3.5 years in his group and left him there? Do we realize that Jesus basically was stabbed in the back by some of his disciples as he was heading for the cross? They just disappeared. But do you realize when Peter denied him 3 times, when the angel comes, the angel says, "Go tell my brother and Peter that I'm risen." Okay, look at me. I want you to understand something about our relationship with the Father. Our relationship with the Father is not a license to sin. Okay? It's not a time where once I accept him, I go live my life and I go back to what I was and I live like the devil and I go through all kinds of things. That's not what it's about. God saved you so you could be an example of his love and compassion and grace and mercy to everyone you come in contact with. I want to live my life so no one has to question whether I'm a Christian or not. I want to live my life so people don't look at me and say, "Well, that's a Christian. I don't want anything to do with it." Why would you want to go to hell? To be with friends that you hate now and you're going to spend eternity in. And so we come to a place where God freed us from sin. Say this: I am free from the power of sin. Therefore, do not let, I will not let is better, sin reign in my mortal body. I'm going to walk this life out for Jesus. Now, I don't care if you believe once saved, always saved. I don't believe if you care if I say a wrong word, I'm going to hell. I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. But the main thing that matters is that you and I walk this life out in the freedom of Jesus Christ, glorifying God and giving the devil no excuse to torment us. It's amazing. It's a great life. Number two, I better look at my notes. I've been preaching so hard. Jesus came to fulfill his Father's plan by conquering death, hell, and the grave. Jesus came to see John. Vision, real, whatever it is, it was a real experience for John. And Jesus looks at him and he says, I am the one that was alive, is dead and now alive. And I have the keys of death and hell. Did you ever stop and ask, how did he get them? How'd he get them? At the resurrection, I believe that Jesus walked into hell. The demons were screaming because they knew who he was. And Satan had to come and kneel and give him the keys. How many of you have keys to your own house? The devil doesn't have keys to his. And so Jesus came that we might have power over death. Now keep it something. Please understand this, okay? Death is not your friend. Say that with me. Death is not my friend. Death is the last enemy to be destroyed. You get it? 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus didn't come to take away the good. He came to take away the tools and the work of the devil. And so as we walk this life out, I'm going to tell you something. I've never been this close to death in my life. And you people aren't helping me any. You know, 72 years old. Can you imagine? Some of you people weren't even born when I came here. Jesus came to absolutely, radically break the power of Satan so that you have hope and you have victory and you have life and you live in grace and you live in his compassion and you walk this life out for the glory of God. Now here's how you do that for Sherry and Jason. You don't base your life on circumstances. Circumstances can tear you down if you let them get in your head. You know, when my folks were killed, circumstances about killed me. But there's a lot of things that you can allow in your head that you don't. What you come to the place of doing is that, yes, I can go through all things through Christ, and my God shall supply all my needs. You know, I want to tell you something. And God is going to work things out, and it's going to be amazing. Yes. And we're going to have shouting and praise and glory and love to Jesus because that's who he is. Amen. And whatever you're going through, walk in the hope. Walk in the expectation. Because too often we allow our emotions to destroy us. And God gave you emotions, okay? Just don't turn them around and make them bad. It doesn't mean you won't get hurt. As I stood out there with Sherry and Jason on Friday and Kirk was out there, I wanted to cry. I just wanted to cry. You know, you walk in the house and you see what's happening. And you know what it was before? Because I think you just remodeled, didn't you? But God will turn it around. He's there to help. He's there to turn what Satan meant for evil into good. And all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. It's not over. It's not over. Praise God. Praise God, there's hope. And the third one is simply this. Jesus came to open the door for us to get into heaven. I am the door, he said, right? John chapter 10. I'm the door. Now look at me. In this world, to be politically correct, you have to accept the fact that any door will lead to Jesus, or any door will lead to nirvana or whatever they want to go. I want to tell you something. Every door but one leads to hell.
That's right.
You say, oh, you're pretty dogmatic. No, I'm just biblical.
Amen.
Jesus came. And if you look at the church in Philadelphia, in Revelation 3, he says, I've set before you an open door that no one can open and no one can shut. I am the only one that can open that door. I can't open it for you. It's open because of Jesus. And as we walk this life out, you can take as many people through that door that you want to. There's no limits. God's not willing that any should perish, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus came, and read Ephesians 2. Jesus came and the door was shut to the Gentiles. We had no hope. The Bible says we are without hope in this world. But one day Peter is having breakfast or something, and a sheet comes down with all kinds of foreign food on it, unclean. And Peter looks at God and says, no, not so, Master. I've never eaten anything unclean or impure. And the Lord spoke to him and said, don't you call what I've cleansed unclean. The gospel was taken to the Gentiles, which was God's plan all along. The door was open for us to come in. But once again, the door is going to open, and the door is open for the Jews as well. But read Romans chapter 11, you'll see how God is just going to bless the Jews and bring them in.
That's right.
And maybe, I'm not being political, please. And maybe there's a reason for us to restore relations with Israel. Maybe there's a reason for things to happen the way they are. Because God did not stop loving the Jews any more than he stopped loving the Gentiles. He accepts both. And so Christ came to open that door that we can walk in freely. Now listen, and I'm closing almost. What are you laughing at? Some people feel the door has shut for you. It's still open. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. I've had people crying in services and crusades and doing things and tears flowing down their face and just bawling and saying, I've committed the unpardonable sin. I said, what makes you think so? Well, I can't feel God. Well, what do you think you're feeling right now? I mean, I didn't preach that bad that they had to cry over the sermon. And so when you're talking to someone and they're saying, well, I committed the unpardonable or I did this. If you committed the unpardonable, you wouldn't even want to ever think about God. You'd walk away from him. You'd leave it alone. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, it's time to come back. Come back. The door is open. The door is open. like the old song says, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you.